a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Senate State Affairs will come to order. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Brown.
Here.
Frerichs.
Here.
Johnston.
Here.
Lederman.
Here.
Lucas.
Here.
Rave.
Here.
Teason.
Here.
Olson. Roden.
Here. Quorum is present. Senator Olson will be with us a little bit later. He is involved in the press conference that's taking place right now. Before we get started, and since this is the first meeting, we're going to go over just some a review of the mode of operation from this chair and this committee. Before I do that, I want the our staff and the secretary to introduce themselves.
I'm Jill Wellhouse, and I will be staffing this committee on behalf of Senator Roden.
David Ortbahn with the LRC, and I'll be here to try to answer any questions you might have and handle any amendments. And with amendments, the sooner you can get them to me, the more it's appreciated. Thanks.
Yes. You don't want to see him when he's crotchety. It's ugly. Before we get started, I just wanted to take a couple minutes, and since we have a number of new members to state affairs, and every committee chair has a different mode of operation, I just wanted to clue you in on some of the things that how I like to run a committee as far as testimony. Starting with the testimony, the order of business in this committee will be we will start with proponents, obviously. I will read the title first, call for proponent testimony. We will then go immediately to opponent testimony. From there, I will allow, assuming there is opponent testimony, I will allow time for rebuttal from the prime sponsor of the bill or someone that that person designates to do the rebuttal. Then we will move to questions. There are a lot of different ways of running committees, and I've seen in the past a number of committee chairs that allow questions after each witness. And to me, it's not a very effective or effective use of time, given the fact that the next speaker or opponent testimony may well answer that question. And I've seen many good bills get derailed because they're asking questions that to people that aren't qualified to answer it, and they try to answer it, and things go sideways real fast. So it seems to me it's a lot more effective and a better use of time to hold questions until all testimony has been given. After the question period, then we will move to comments and discussion and action from the committee. Okay. Procedurally, a couple other things I'd mention. Obviously, on a tabling motion, that's a non-debatable motion. And so I will not allow or will rule out of order any preparatory remarks if they come before a tabling motion. Aside from that, just regular motions, although I can be somewhat more flexible, I would prefer that you refrain from preparatory remarks on any motion. If you want to make a defer motion or a do pass, I would prefer that you make that motion up front. I've seen too many committee members waste too much time trying to discern what's coming forth based on the comments that are legislators making. If you state the motion up front, get a second, I will, as a matter of course, go automatically back to the person making the motion once he's received a second for the initial comments on the motion. So unless there's some sort of extenuating circumstance, again, it's not a hard and fast, but I would prefer the motion come up front. Aside from that, just a few reminders. Otherwise, when we come to this committee hearing, the members of the committee and to the audience to check your cell phones to make sure they're in an appropriate setting. Also a reminder that we are live via the internet, so any questions, comments from the committee or from the audience, I would request that you come forward and address the committee in front of a live mic. Aside from that, I would ask for you had some requests from the committee? Please.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. If committee members, I would ask you to let me know whether or not you want your binders, your committee binders. Some of the legislators are moving towards the paperless initiative, and right now you were prepared binders for today. If your wish is that you not have binders, be sure and let me know. Also, when I start preparing your agendas, I will spindle them at your desk, unless you don't want them spindled there, or don't want them. So let me know again, so I know how much paper we're going to be preparing and pushing throughout the course of the session. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any questions from the committee before we get started? Our pages are both gone. We'll introduce our pages later on in the committee. We also, this first meeting, I would like our interns that will be helping us out in this committee to stand up and introduce themselves. Just from right there is fine.
My name is Brandon Thompson. I'm a junior at USC. And I'm
Carolyn Hanson. I'm a junior at Kansas State University.
And we would like to welcome all of you to this session, and right up front, we'll thank you for the many hours of hard work you will be devoting to us. Any other comments, questions for the committee before we start on today's calendar? Seeing none, we will take up the confirmation appointment, the confirmation of the appointment of Larry Zimmerman from Pennington County, Rapid City, South Dakota, to the position of Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. That hearing is now open for public testimony and proponents.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the State Affairs Committee. It's a true privilege to be here. My name is Matt Michaels. I'm Lieutenant Governor of this great state and also currently serve as the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. If I may, Mr. Chairman, may I have your permission to have the Deputy Secretary Harding pass out a booklet to you all? May he approach? Just a little background before we introduce Sergeant Major is a booklet that is online, but for individuals, we have veterans obviously on this committee and listening. We have Colonel Johnston, who is still on duty. We have thought that this book will need updating on an ongoing basis, but it's a good resource. It's one, candidly, I did not know existed until I took this position and was elected with the governor. And I want to give just a little bit of a background, if I may, for those who are listening. We have new people here in the audience as to what's actually transpired in the last 2 years based on your approval. Governor's campaigned, and he and I spoke, and as a veteran, he came up with the desire, and you approved it through the reorganization, that the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, which had been a department for a long, long time, would be divided up, and one would be the Department of Veterans Affairs, and one would be the Department of Military. He asked on our executive committee that I take responsibility for those departments, along with other duties. And it's been very interesting. And here is what I've learned outside the obvious. We as a nation and a state depend upon our reserve forces a tremendous amount. Obviously, we have an incredible active duty population, our Air Force, and other individuals who independently have volunteered for duty. But the vast majority, in all fairness, of South Dakotans in public service in our military are through the Guard and Reserve component. And that is the Command Sergeant Major Larry Zimmerman's background as well. What has happened in the wartime that we have been in and will continue to throughout the rest of my life happened is that our Department of Veterans Affairs is actually taking care of, as we know, a number of people who've been to war because of deployments and their families. and all of the issues that are attended to that. And it's a partnership that I think those in the trenches know better than any of us, even if we have been veterans, that are close and understand what transpired. The governor and I, in analyzing this and seeing what's happened and continue to grow through the Department of Veterans Affairs, went through a long interview process. And we were privileged to come around, and it took us a long time because there are very, very good candidates that had applied. Command Sergeant Major Larry Zimmerman interviewed. And it was clear, based on his background as an individual who was enlisted, had risen to the ranks of the top enlisted individual throughout the entire Guard, been the right hand of our two-star generals, flying around, been deployed, is a Bronze Star winner, has held hands with family members who have lost their loved ones, either through combat, through behavioral issues, through suicide, through those problems that we all have in our lives. He's been there. He knows it compassionately and candidly understands the system. We wanted him on board, and he said, I really want to come on board, and you'll hear that passion in his voice, but I want to complete my tour of duty, my obligation to my nation and to my, obviously, to my commander, General Reich. So the governor and I talked extensively, and obviously you approved this, that I said, well, let's go ahead and wait. They'll have to put up with me as secretary until he comes on board. And his biggest challenge, I think, is going to be filling these massive shoes of mine. I mean, it's hard, but he'll get it done. In addition to his other background, Command Sergeant Major worked for 35 years in the United States Postal Service. He was a postmaster in Spearfish Pier and in Sturgis. And if you have the opportunity, thankfully he's willing to talk about his tours and what he's seen in Afghanistan and our national security and wars. Operation Enduring Freedom is, as we know from the breakfast briefing, the main war front that our nation is involved in, and we have a lot of deployments still there scheduled on deck for scheduling. He was the Operations Sergeant Major for, again, Sergeant Major is the highest enlisted for the nine northern provinces in the country of Afghanistan in Operation Enduring Freedom. Served many months on tour there, and he was forward operating base commander. He's been in some rough neighborhoods. And for that service, he was awarded the Bronze Star. And actually, when I said that, I just got a chill because it's amazing and a privilege to be next to you. Ladies and gentlemen, Command Sergeant Major Larry Zimmerman.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. It's humbling to hear my Lieutenant Governor talk about me. Sorry. I'm old and get emotional a lot, so you'll have to put up with that. I'm excited to be able to come here and sit before you, and if I get confirmation, be able to represent your 70,000-plus veterans in this state. There's 70,000 veterans, and there's many family members that go along with those veterans. And I plan on and look forward to representing them, helping them be a voice, and just recognizing them. There are many benefits, and you've got the book from that Steve Harding handed out, shows the many assets we can help them with, the resources, and they need all that. As Lieutenant Governor mentioned, you know, the military services or the service members or the veterans are a special group, but they're like you and I. I come before you without a uniform on. You don't know I'm a veteran until you're told or until I say I am. And they're out there. I find many Vietnam veterans still that don't want to talk about it. I have a Silver Star, four Purple Hearts, and a few Bronze Stars veteran in Fort Meade, Ed Petronic, that his 60-year-old son heard the stories as he was telling the reporter. And that was the first that his 60-year-old son heard those stories, wounded a couple of times. So I'm here to help those veterans be a voice, help the state understand issues, concerns, wants, needs, and desires of those veterans, and just be an overall conduit for the state and as a Department of Veteran Affairs, and I'm very excited to sit before you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. Any other proponent testimony? Any other proponent testimony? Okay. Questions from the committee? Well, as a matter of course, are there any opponents? Seeing none. Questions from the committee? Any questions? Senator Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for information, then, will this office be in Pierre or would it be at Camp Rapid?
I'll answer this, Mr. Chairman, if that's okay. Senator Lucas, we appreciate that, and he will have an office in Rapid City, an office in here. It's not a very large office in Rapid City. The Sergeant Major, or soon to be Secretary, we hope, office is going to be his car and his cell phone and the state of South Dakota. So we've got him suited up, and you'll see that within the appropriations side. And when you see the appropriation, we'll have a salary in there because we haven't put the salary in up to this point, except for half of it because of the fiscal year. And he'll be able to drive around and come from his home base, but be through that and then do interactive as well. But by the way, his office is across the way if you've never been there, and I would also ask that we ask our interns to go over across the way at our Soldiers and Sailors building, and on the second level is our Hall of Honor that has the citations.
Any other questions? Yes, Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think not only fitting on the very early pages of the book that was handed out to us, you mentioned all the county veteran service officers. And what would be some of your, or what are some of your plans to continue to give, you know, the tools and optimism to those county officers? Because certainly they're in some cases, as we've heard from our veterans organizations, they have all across the board as far as different hours and circumstances and things like that. But I guess, has anything come to mind that might be possible to work with those folks, because they certainly are the eyes and ears to help your job be extremely successful?
May I answer that?
Yes.
Mr. President, look forward to meeting all the county veteran service officers, and in August I came out to Pierre to be with them during their one-time annual training that they have, so I did meet them all individually. And while I am traveling the state in my office, in Paul, I believe it is, I will stop off, and my goal in the first year is to not only learn my department much better than I have now, but to see those county veteran service officers in their place of work. They have schedules from every other Tuesday to Monday and Wednesday, every other week to a few counties that are large enough to have them full-time. But I will touch base with them, learn what their needs are. And I know quite a few of them already, and just to help them help our veterans. We have the assets. We have the resources. They have the forms. They have all this stuff. They are our storefront for our department, even without that command and control, if you will, where they're subject matter experts, and we'll help them with anything, anytime. So just to be out there and touch them, see what's going on with them.
Further questions? Seeing none, we will open to committee discussion and or action. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Senator Roden. I've had the great honor and distinction of serving with State Command Sergeant Major Zimmerman for a number of years, and it's really an interesting, unique time in our history to have a retired State Command Sergeant Major, or a Sergeant Major in general, being our first, no disrespect, our first real Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. I said no disrespect. You know, we have a very unique point of our history. My father-in-law on Monday turned 92. He's a veteran, and it's really humbling. I went to a funeral of a veteran in April of last year. He was in his 70s, and my 92-year-old or 91-year-old father-in-law was in the honor guard for this 70-year-old funeral. It's a very telling time. But at the same time, we've got my father-in-law's genre, and then we've got our growing student veteran population that are taking advantage of some of the things that are discussed in this book to come off of active duty, like a young Larry Zimmerman did in 1976 after serving in the 4th ID, and take advantage of their educational benefits. And so we've got a very diverse pool of veterans with very different needs. And having a gentleman like Larry Zimmerman with that experience as a command sergeant major, or as an operations sergeant major, a command sergeant major, but also a platoon sergeant and a squad leader, and that true one-on-one taking care of soldiers or taking care of a sailor or a Marine or an Air Force tech sergeant. We are very blessed to have that opportunity right now in our state. And so with that, I'd like to make a motion to the advice and consent of Larry Zimmerman to be our next and first Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs in South Dakota.
Motion by Senator Johnson. Is there a second? Well, I can see that my chairs, my remarks from were remembered for about 10 minutes. I will grant the motion.
Who's the education chair?
Motion by Senator Johnson, second by Senator Frerichs. Further comments on the motion? Further comments on the motion? I will make some just a few closing comments. You know, it's a privilege for me, and I couldn't agree more with Senator Johnson's comments. Well said. Well said. And you know, I was in the Guards in the 842nd in Sturgis, Larry Zimmerman's former stomping grounds. And one thing I know for certain, experience matters in the military. And having the experience and the background and the understanding of what veterans face, what they deal with when they're in the service, and what they deal with afterward is extremely important. And I am very confident that Mr. Zimmerman has the experience and the expertise and the character to fill these shoes very well. And so I'm privileged to support the motion to advise and consent in that appointment. Any further comments? Seeing none, the motion then, and the official motion in this committee moving forward, the official motion is basically that the Senate Committee on State Affairs recommend the full Senate do advise and consent to the appointment of Mr. Zimmerman. We will dispatch with all that formality and simply an advise and consent motion. So any further comments on the motion? Seeing none, the Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Brown,
aye.
Frerichs,
aye.
Johnston,
aye.
Lederman,
aye.
Lucas,
aye.
Rave,
aye.
Teason,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we will now move to Senate Bill 13, an act to revise certain provisions relating to the administration and mineral rights on and under research parks. Senate Bill 13 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony. And while he's coming up, do we have both of our pages back or just one? This one. All right.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Nathan Lucas. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of the Governor's Office of Economic Development. Here in support of Senate Bill 13. The bill is relatively short and to the point, and I will keep my comments the same. We view this bill as more of a cleanup bill than anything else. There's some concern that the current language administered to support could be construed to mean that the proceeds from the mineral rights are to go to the research park which is prohibited by the South Dakota Constitution. Article 8, Section 18 of the Constitution clearly spells out the apportionment of proceeds derived from mineral rights on public lands. So the new language, that they shall be managed in a manner that does not unreasonably interfere with research park operations, we believe gets to the intent of the bill without potentially contradicting our Constitution. With that said, I have a representative from School and Public Lands here, should you have any detailed questions on this matter. Otherwise, I will stand by for questions and urge your support of Senate Bill 13. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is Paul Terman with the South Dakota Board of Regents, rising in support of the changes being proposed here. Our legal counsel worked with the School and Public Lands as they identified this issue. I think this language helps provide the clarity that's necessary, and it should not hinder our ability to help manage the research park as we go forward. So I would stand down for any questions you might have at any point. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, questions from the committee? Seeing no questions, comments and or action?
Move do pass.
Senator Lucas moves do pass, seconded by Senator Rave. Comments on that motion? Any other comments? Seeing no further comments, the motion is due pass, Senate Bill 13. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Brown.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. Further action. Senator Johnson moves consent, seconded by Senator Lederman. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, motion is to place Senate Bill 13 on consent. All in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Senate Bill 13 goes to the floor. Do pass on the consent calendar. We will now move to Senate Bill 33, an act authorized use of an online reverse auction for the procurement of certain goods and services by governmental agencies. Senate Bill 33 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jeff Holden. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of the Bureau of Administration. Prior to becoming Deputy Commissioner, I was the Director of Procurement Management for about 12 years. Senate Bill 33 authorizes the use of an online reverse auction by state and local government purchasing agencies for the procurement of certain supplies and non-professional services. In a reverse auction, the sellers bid downwards to sell the state or local government an item, as opposed to a normal auction where bidders would bid upwards to buy something. In both cases, the bidders know what the current bid price is and have the option to make a decision whether or not to beat it. This bill prohibits reverse auctions from being used for any public improvement contract or for any professional services contract. Professional services have their own specific process that's outlined in our statutes now. In a reverse auction process, bidders are pre-qualified, so the reverse auction itself is the final step in a multi-step bidding process. Everything is pretty much similar to a sealed bid until you get to the final price component, which is the reverse auction, and the reason that we need authority for it is because it no longer meets that definition of a sealed bid because everybody sees what the current bid price is. Public notice is required, just like for any competitive sealed bid or proposal. All qualified vendors would be invited to participate in the reverse auction. So if you go through the qualification process, you meet all the requirements, you're invited, you get to participate in the auction. The process allows for the auction to be extended past the specified time of closing if a bid comes in at the very end. kind of like any other auction where the auctioneer would say, going, going, gone, you get a chance to bid again. And then the extensions would continue as long as more bids are received until no further bids are received. Once the auction is ended, we would make award as we would with any other competitive sealed bid process. The Bureau of Administration will conduct all reverse auctions for state agencies. Any local government agency would, a purchasing agency with authority to enter into those contracts would handle their own. We did a survey of states across the country through our National Association of State Procurement Officials, and 44 states responded. 37 of those currently use reverse auctions for different types of procurements. Back in before 2010, BOA did have authority to conduct reverse auctions. We didn't do it. We didn't have the right system to conduct a reverse auction. We do now. Our new e-procurement system that we put in place July 1st has reverse auction capabilities. It doesn't cost us any more to use that. We'd like the opportunity to do that with this authority. We would like to use this modern tool. It's widely accepted across the country. We hope that you will approve Senate Bill 33. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Other proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, questions from the committee? Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jeff, did you say the technology already exists and that we would not need to purchase any other program system to utilize reverse auction?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Yes, when we did our RFP for our new e-procurement system last spring, winter and spring, we included reverse auction capabilities in one of the optional requests, and our current system provides that to us at no additional cost.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing no further questions, comments, and or action.
Chair.
Senator Frerichs.
Move to pass.
Second.
Motion to pass by Senator Frerichs, second by Senator Rave. Comments on the motion? Any comments? Seeing none, the motion is do pass. Senate Bill 33, all those in favor vote aye. Those opposed nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Brown.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. Senate Bill 33 goes to the floor. Do pass.
Chair.
Senator Teason.
And second.
Motion consent by Senator Teason, seconded by Rave. Comments on the motion? All those in favor will say aye.
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 Opposed nay. Motion carries. Senate Bill 33 goes to the floor. Do pass on consent. We will take now Senate Bill 34, an act to provide for the sale of the state's interest in certain real estate and improvements located at the Human Services Center campus. Senate Bill 34 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Paul Kinsman, Commissioner of Administration. I'm here in support of Senate Bill 34. Simply put, Senate Bill 34 provides for the opportunity for the governor to sell the Meade Building at the Human Services campus to the Yankton Historical Society. The Meade Building is a three-story quartzite and concrete structure built in 1909. Because of changes and construction of the George Mickelson Center for the neurosciences back in the 90s, the building has not been utilized for over 30 years. In fact, the last time it was utilized was in 1977, and the building has fallen into significant disrepair. As you're probably aware, the campus down at HSC has been an issue as to what to do with the various buildings down there for many years. There have been discussions that have occurred between state government and local entities in efforts to utilize those buildings, the Meade Building being one of the center stages of those conversations because of its historic significance. There's a marble grand staircase in that building that's absolutely beautiful. The building has historic significance. When Governor Dugard came in, there were discussions between the Yankton Historical Society and the state of South Dakota as to whether or not they wanted to do something with that building. Through those discussions, the Yankton Historical Society stepped up to the plate and wants to renovate that building. That building is currently a liability to the state. We have done study after study on those buildings, and we think that this is an appropriate use rather than tearing it down, a preservation of a historic building. And this bill simply allows the governor to sell the property to the Yankton Historical Society so that they can use it as a museum. The other thing about that building that would be difficult for us to repurpose is the building is not situated such that you can easily turn it into any kind of office space or anything like that because of the time period in which it was built. So it's not something that we could repurpose. That was looked at on a number of occasions. This is kind of part of the governor's stewardship, you know, preserve some assets, preserve what's available, what is smart for us to do. And we think that this provides an opportunity for the Yankton Historical Society, also provides us an opportunity to take an asset that is dilapidated and not useful for the state and put it to a good use. And we would ask your support of this bill to allow the governor to sell the property.
Thank you. Further proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, questions? Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kinsman, will there be any ongoing liabilities for the state of South Dakota, considering that that piece of property will sit on, you know, that campus, and, you know, 10 years from now, if, you know, with visitors coming to it and all the things that go with a beautiful piece of restored architecture, what will be the risk to the citizens of South Dakota from a fiduciary perspective?
The risk to the citizens of the state of South Dakota, Mr. Chair, if I might, would be only to the extent that they would be traveling over an easement that would allow them to come to the building. Once the property is transferred to the Yankton Historical Society, they would have full responsibility for any liabilities that occur while on that facility. There currently is not an easement in there. We've agreed because we don't know just exactly when they're going to get to the point where they're able to invite the public to come in, but we're going to continue to discuss and partner with those folks to make sure that this is a good direction to head and to make sure that the current campus, which is there to serve the mentally disabled and at the state hospital, are protected. I mean, one of the things that we're going to make sure that we do is the access that's provided and the campus that's currently providing services to the folks at the hospital, that they're protected in such a way as the new purpose of the Meade Building does not interfere with either of those two functions, either the Meade Building as a museum or the state hospital as a treatment facility.
Thank you. Further questions? Senator Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Essentially, that was the same question, and Senator Johnston answered it much more eloquently than I could have, so I have no other question.
Thank you. Any other questions? comments, discussion? Seeing none, we will open now for comments and discussion and or action. Sir Brown.
Mr. Chair, I move due pass.
Second.
Motion due pass by Senator Brown, second by Senator Rave. Comments on that motion? Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, I certainly applaud the efforts of the DOA and the governor. I think some of these properties probably went without the proper attention for way too long. And although some of these things may require some resources, I think it's about time, under that guise of stewardship, to take care of this. And if we are able to find partnerships where this can be restored with private individuals, I think that this is certainly a positive step in the right direction. So I would hope that the committee could support this.
Thank you. Further comments? Well, I would just chime in with Senator Brown. You know, I think these are great arrangements. We've had some recent situation in Meade County where we had a very, very old school building donated by the school district to the county, and the county renovated it for their new courthouse. Probably cost half what it would have cost to build a new courthouse, and preserved a very unique structure from the, back in the 18th century. So I am very pleased when we see legislation like this that the state of South Dakota is cooperating with other agencies and associations to preserve that kind of culture. So good job. Any other comments from the committee?
So, Mr. Chairman, was that called the Yankton Building in Meade County?
Never mind. Afraid the chair is a little slow today. I'm not picking up on that. Any other comments? Motion then is due pass. Senate Bill 34. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Brown.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. Senate Bill 34 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I believe, unless any of the committee members have any announcements, did we get our pages back yet?
Yeah.
Just one of them? Why don't you stand up and introduce yourself? Tell us where you're from.
I'm Christian Witt, and I'm from Harper.
Welcome, and thanks for your help. Any other announcements from the committee? Again, we will, for the next meeting, which will be next Wednesday, we will have your books to you as per your request on them. Any other announcements? Seeing none, motion to adjourn by Olson, second by Rave. Comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.